Well, it's always a great pleasure to welcome these fine folks to the show. It's been quite a while. Welcome back, Easily Amused. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Have Renee and Keith here.
Yep.
And so it's been a while since you've been on the show, since you've been around. Where you been?
Well, we've been working on a new album. It's taken a long time to finish, but we're finally done. And yeah, we've kind of been in the studio. And on our off time, we've been down in the U.S. playing all sorts of different colleges. So
that's your off time.
That's our off time. Well, that has been over the last couple of years. So it's been pretty busy.
So, well, all right, let's dive right into it. The brand new album is Simple Stuff. Tell me a bit about making this thing.
Well, we recorded it in Toronto with Creighton Doan, who is Melanie Doan's brother, if anybody knows Melanie Doan. And yeah, it was just such a great experience. We recorded most of it in the summer of 2003. And working with Creighton was just such a pleasure because he was just an awesome guy. And the whole experience, I mean, you know, we had no complaints about anything. It just ran so smoothly, and we can't wait to do the next one.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool how the whole thing came about because it was really by chance. Renee and I were at this conference, like, 3 years ago, I think, when Prairie Music Week was in Winnipeg.
Uh-huh.
And we were at the conference and we were talking to this manager about how to get opening spots for bigger acts. The guy's like, oh, you just got to get to know the acts, you know, and then become friends. And then, you know, they can slip you on their bills when they're touring. So we were like, oh, yeah, that's real easy. And that same second later, we were coming down the elevator after talking to this guy. And we got to the lobby of the hotel where the conference was at. And Renee was like, oh, my God, there's Melanie Doan in the lobby. I was like, come on, this is crazy. So we went and we chatted it up with her for a few seconds. I think we freaked her out like crazy. But I was like, Melanie, we're Easily Amused. And she was like, what? And so anyway, we ended up getting her a copy of our demo. And we've kept in touch ever since. And when it came time to do this new record, we asked her advice on producers, and she said her brother, Creighton, was a good bet. So we went and demoed with him for a while, and this album came about. So it's kind of by chance this whole album happened, but anyways.
What kind of stuff has he done, do you know? His resume a bit?
He's worked with a guy, John Boswell.
Uh-huh.
That's about as much as I know.
Davenant Doyle? Is that how you say your name?
Davenant.
Davenant Doyle?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
he's
okay.
Done some work.
Cool. He's like he's a drummer at heart. And yeah, I think he's drummed. Like, producing is kind of like a new thing for him.
Right.
And he's just so good at it. So yeah, it's pretty cool that we got a chance to work with him at like such an early stage.
Yeah. So what kind of things did he teach you, or what kind of things did he do for you that you sort of didn't do for yourselves? Or
Well, for just watching him work, and, you know, right from the top, like when we were in pre-production, we all kind of sat around and played our songs to Creighton, and he helped us co-write some of the songs as well, which we were open to, because on the first album it was strictly Keith and myself who wrote the tunes, but we kind of wanted to, you know, just try a different route. So that was great to work like as a trio on some songs. And for me, the best thing was there was just a lot of space. Like, there were no egos or no tension. Everyone was just, you know, open-minded, and that kind of is what made it flow so well.
Yeah. So this is your second CD. The first one was Novice. Tell me a bit about what was different about recording this project.
I think we were going for more of a pop rock thing this time around. Novice was produced in a way that it was a lot more folk-based, and I don't know, we just wanted to kind of change up the sound. I think there's a lot of similarities between the two albums. Our songwriting still comes from the heart, I have to say. Like, I wrote all the songs on this new album just as passionately as I wrote Novice, you know? And yeah, so I think for me, there's more similarities than differences on it.
Yeah. So your writing, did it change?
Yeah, I find, if anything, like, we've gained so much experience in our writing, like, because Novice was released in 2001. So, yeah, like just to answer also Keith's question, that last question you had said there, I feel like the first time we did our album, Novice, we really had no idea what to, you know, like everything was just a learning process. And the second time around, we had more of a grasp on recording and stuff. And so that helped out a lot as well.
So you must feel good about the CD though. It's good to finally have it done.
I have to say the cool thing about it for sure is when we were recording it, there really wasn't any flaws. Like usually you hear these stories about how there's some glitch in the recording process and, you know, something goes wrong. Like they lose a song halfway through or there's a huge fight between the producer and the artist. But I have to say that recording this disc, it was so fun. Like the whole idea and approach to doing this album was basically let's go in and have a good time. And that's what's going to transfer onto the album. And I really think that came across. Like all the songs have a lot of good energy, positive energy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I can't be happier about this album. I think it's going to be really exciting to get it out there, start working it, and having everybody take a listen to it.
So now overall, do you feel that this is a more upbeat album? The first one, I mean, it had some upbeat songs, but there were a lot of fairly slow songs as well. Is this one more balanced towards the upbeat elements, or is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think there's a real good mix. Like you said, the first one had more ballads.
Yeah.
This one, I would say it's more on just a better feel. Like, I just feel like he really got all the songs. He just nailed them in the pocket. So there's some that are, you know, more like a rocking out kind of tunes, and others are kind of ballads. But, yeah, I just feel like he just nailed them all, so they just really stand out.
Well, I would love to hear one. I see you brought your guitars, and would you like to hear one off the CD first, or should we play something live?
Hey, let's jump in and play something live.
All right, what are you going to do?
I think we'll do a song. This is a song I wrote. It was the last one for the album for my grandfather who recently passed away, and it's a song called All Need Love. He was just a brief intro to it, since this is such a great songwriter program. He was a banker, and when I was growing up, he'd always tell me to save my money, put it in the bank. When I got a paper route, he'd be like, hey, Keith, make sure you put your money in the bank. So we'd always discuss money. And towards the end of his life, he was losing his memory. He got Alzheimer's, and however you say that. I never grasped that word. Is it Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's,
whatever. He was losing his memory. And he'd always think that I was super rich, and that was one thing he never forgot. So,
you didn't discourage that, did you?
I thought it was great because I'm a starving musician, and he was one of the only people in my life that thought I was rich, and he's just always made me feel great. So I wrote him this song on his passing away because he was such a great guy, and this is a song called All Need Love.
I can't wait to hear it. This is Easily Amused on Tell the Band to Go Home.
Take away the pain, learn to walk away. Well, it's over now. Gone far beyond the door, you will be no more. Well, it's over. Still, swift becomes you leaving us, and we all need love. Yeah, we all need love. All need love. Yeah, we all. I could find a way to have you here today. Yeah, you know I would. 'Cause you were brighter than the sun. You're missed by everyone.
That's terrific. That was Easily Amused. You can also find that on the new CD, Simple Stuff, I imagine.
You can.
Yep.
So putting this show together, this is sort of your first big headlining thing at the West End, isn't it?
It is, I think.
Yeah.
We usually do support slots there, so it's been a lot of work. I think we're going to approach the show from an acoustic standpoint, because mm-hmm. that's what we have been doing for the last 2 years live. So I think we're going to try to keep it fairly acoustic, because that's where we feel the strongest and most comfortable. Even though our album is very produced and band-oriented, it's really tough to get all the right players involved. And
yeah.
based on our touring schedule right now, I don't know if people would want to hear us with a band, because our rehearsal time would be so minimal,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think we're people can expect to come and hear us play acoustically and hear the songs in their rawest form,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe leave with the CD that is produced and they can listen to over and over again to remember the songs, you know? That's what I'm hoping,
yeah.
anyway.
So this will be the official release of the CD. Will it be available in stores? Is it available in stores?
Yeah, it's going to be available right across Canada, and also available on cdbaby.com.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And indiepool.com, so there's quite
Very
a
nice.
Few choices.
Very nice. Who's distributing it across Canada?
Festival Distribution is doing a thing for us, helping us get it. I think that we're working, it's kind of weird, apparently HMV doesn't really help out the little guys as much as they used to.
They're evil.
So
you can't say
they?
That, but I can.
I have no comment. No, I'm just kidding. But apparently CD Plus is going to be working the disc, and we'll do some in stores as we're touring.
Oh, really?
So that'll be good.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and we're trying to get, this is the mystery to me, is how an artist gets their CD on like a listening post in a store. How does that happen, you know?
Lots of money.
Is it money?
Yeah.
Well, we should have a fundraiser here on UMFM for Easily Amused listening post. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we're doing our best to get the music out there absolutely free anyway, but
awesome.
See what we can do. Has it been sent out to any radio or anything yet?
Yeah, well, we're actually hiring a radio tracker in Canada to help promote the song Simple Stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is, we won a contest that was in 2002 now with Warner Music, and what was it called?
Canada's Best Online Indie Artist.
Yeah, okay. And one of the prizes was to get one of our songs on a compilation that's distributed by Warner Music across, like, to mm-hmm. all the radio stations. So, we're hopefully going to be pushing that song, and take
what
it from there.
What does a radio tracker do?
Well, she's going to send out, I think it's like 300 CDs to different radio stations across Canada, and she'll call them weekly and try to push the song mm-hmm. onto radio. And I mean, there's so much competition out there, you know.
And these are going to be commercial radio outlets that we're
yes.
talking about? Isn't it really tough getting an independent song on commercial radio?
It is. And we are, like, this is a major gamble that we're taking. You know, we're just kind of going for it. And it's basically because of this contest thing. Like, we thought, well, if there's going to be our song on this compilation that's going to all the radio stations, you might as well go ahead and hire a radio tracker and just see what comes out of it.
Right.
So
now, what kind of stations are we looking at? Is this mostly pop stations, sort of younger?
I think we're going to be working towards Hot AC and then a crossover to country, possibly, although I'm not Garth Brooks, that's for sure. And I think we're also going to be looking at college stations, definitely.
Yeah.
We're trying to work it, because we do so much touring down in the States, we're trying to also work the disc at college radio and AAA radio down there.
Yeah.
And see what kind of response we get back. It's a bit of a mystery working your song to radio, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how it's going to do.
Yeah.
But I have faith in it. I think we both do. Like, As I said earlier, it's really about positive energy, the CD, and I think that can spread quick if it's played, you know?
Yeah.
People are listening. Because that's, I think, what we're trying to say on this album is positivity is a good thing.
And it certainly is.
You know, we want to spread that around. I think you don't hear that enough.
Yeah.
It's an important thing. So positivity and not to feel alone. And one of my songs in particular, Boys Don't Cry, I think is definitely a place I came from on this album. Over the last little while, especially in our live show, I've really felt this like comfortableness. Is that a word? Comfortableness in my skin? Like when we're playing, I feel like it's okay to just be myself on stage. And it's taken a long time to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I started playing in the beginning with Easily Amused, I'd always approach it as, come on everybody, we got a party, like let's, and now it's more like I go on stage the way I'm feeling, and I feel just really comfortable being who I am. And
right,
from discovering that, I think a lot of that transferred over to the disc, and this song Boys Don't Cry is really about that, you know? It's okay to feel how you're feeling, and yeah, so
well, so far I guess live performance has been most of your priority. That's where you focus most of your energy, it seems, for the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. So how have you worked on the live performance, and how do you think it's grown since you started?
Well, I think it's a really slow process, like,
yeah,
honestly. But we probably have about maybe 2,500 people on our mailing list now, and we're actually really happy with that. I think it's slowly coming around. I think the reason, you know, right from the beginning, it was more Keith and myself that wanted to do the touring route.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it was a great idea because, again, you know, everybody's trying to get a record deal or whatever. So we decided to do the opposite and go out there and you know, build our own fan base and just try to get the labels' attentions or whatever by that, you know, kind of doing all the work ourselves, and then maybe down the road, who knows what will happen. But so, I mean, in that case, you kind of feel more secure because you know what's going on and you're learning everything yourself. And so I think it's definitely a smart way to do it.
And I think looking back too on all our touring, I don't think I'd change a lot because it's just been a great learning experience doing everything ourselves up to this point. Like, I've learned how to book tours, like be our own agent, be our own promotion and our own promoter. And I guess the only thing I would change next time is I wish that we knew what we know now then. And I don't know if that's possible. So, you know.
Well, it's all part of the learning and growing that I guess you have to do.
Totally.
To get somewhere. But people, I know this album is, like you said, a little bit more produced and it sounds a little bit different. Do you think people will be surprised when they hear it if they've seen you live now or in the past or...
I think so, but I also think that the same energy that a live show brings to them is going to come across on this album. I mean, we did produce it to try to hit a larger number of people in our audience range. Like, I don't know. I think our first album, in a sense, was kind of limited to more of a folk listening audience, and that was good at the time. But I feel like now we want to try to expand that, and you know, see where. Try to reach more people with our music, and part of doing that, I think, at this stage for us was to try to work on a record that was a little more appealing to like everybody, you know, like cross over different genres a little bit and stretch the boundaries. It was kind of fun songwriting too that way, you know, like not being stuck on having to write a story song or having to write like a strictly pop song. There's a lot of crossover on this album, I find.
Yeah.
So, but the production, I don't know. I'm pretty happy with what we did with it, but these songs could be stripped down acoustically like we're going to do at our CD release show. And I think it really comes down to the songs. So. Yeah.
And I think what's good about this album is that our music tends to reach like a whole range of people.
Yeah.
And having, you know, an acoustic show would be more towards like, you know, like the folk, and then our CD being more pop. I think it's nice to have a bit of both, and you can reach more people, and I think people will enjoy both sides of it.
Yeah.
So
we want to meld the folk and pop world together and get them to
You're gonna
get
bridge
along.
The gap. You're gonna
That's right.
That's right. We want to merge the
unite.
Gap. Get them getting along with each other, you know?
Unite the worlds.
That's right.
If anybody can pull it off, it's you guys.
Hey, thanks, man.
Let's hear a song.
All right.
Let's
hear
what are we gonna do now?
Renee, you better play one.
You wanna do live or?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is a song, it's actually the title track. It's called Simple Stuff. And this song is kind of based on wanting to meet somebody. And like, honestly, it's kind of like a fantasy song, because when I wrote this, I've never actually asked a guy out. You know, I'm quite a shy person. So I was kind of bored one night, and I was feeling like a little... what's the word? Feeling brave, you know? It could have been one of those nights where I would have just gone to the bar and picked somebody up. And that's how I was feeling. And this song kind of came out, and not in like a dirty way or anything, you know, just wanting to be brave and just to make the first move kind of thing. And well, that's what came out of this song. So I called it Simple Stuff.
Terrific. This is Easily Amused. You're listening to Tell the Band to Go Home.
Chance, 'cause I would lie.
that song is sort of about meeting people, and that must be extremely difficult, never being in one spot for very long.
To be honest, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's where I'm at in my life, and I'm not ready to settle down or anything like that. So I love moving around. Like I do like coming home for a while, and you know, we've been, I think at Christmas time we were home for 4 months, but 4 weeks. But when it was time to go out, I was ready to get back on the road. You know, it's great to have a balance, and I enjoy both sides of it.
So you don't feel like you're missing out on the sort of home aspect so much?
You mean like settling down?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not really. Like sometimes, especially when I do come home, I'll catch up with my old friends from high school, and you know, they all got married and have kids and stuff, and I think it's great, but I think I'm going to only do that like later on after I'm, you know, in my 30s or something. And yeah, I'm loving what I'm doing now. So it's all good.
That's very good. How about you, Keith?
I find it a little harder now to be away from home.
Yeah.
Not that there's any like serious love spark that's holding me down here, but I just, I guess we've been home for the last 4 weeks. And it's been nice. You get into this routine of being comfortable sleeping in your own bed and stuff. So I'm just in that stage because I'm home. But when we go back out on the road, I'll probably be on that whole mindset of, yeah, I can be out here and independent. It's I think as musicians, we tend to adjust to wherever we are. We're used to making sense of the situation. So, yeah, I guess right now I'm feeling like kind of a little happy to be here. But once we get out there, you know, it'll be a little adjusting period. But then, you know, I think I'll be happy to be where I am. So,
yep. How do you guys feel about sort of the state of how you guys work together and how, like, what is the nature of your relationship, I guess? Is it primarily musical or, like, how do you guys work together?
Well, we used to fight
really
a lot.
Well.
We used to fight a lot, but now, as Renee says, really well.
I think
she got the cattle prod, that's changed.
What? I feel like we're really maturing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been playing together for 5 years now, and there's a lot of times where there's some immaturity or insecurities and stuff, and I think that's just natural, and it's just part of growing up. And the thing that's good with us is we talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we communicate a lot, and we like to kind of say what's on our mind. So I think that's important, even if it becomes a fight or whatever.
Yeah.
It's out in the open, and we try to work it from there.
A lot of people ask us, because I know you're dying to know if we're a couple.
And everybody does ask. I mean.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of inevitable when you're in a band to be together 100%. I mean, you can look at it as like we're a couple, because we spend 24/7 together, you know, for the majority of the year. And to work this well together, you kind of have to be communicating. And a lot of people compare being in a band to being like you're married, you know. And I really believe that, whether you're a band of all guys or a girl guy or all girls, like, you know, to do it well and to do it successfully, you kind of have to get married to each other on a certain level to make it work. So I think that's my new answer to that question is, you know, for 2004, Renee and I are a couple because we are always together. So there you go.
Well, wait, you didn't ask me.
Well, I haven't cleared it with you yet, but I just assume it's naturally what we are. We go to every, like,
he just
industry
makes all
party
the decisions.
Together. We do lots together. So, you know, on our off days on the road, sometimes we might do our own thing, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, but I'll tell you that whoever we marry, when we actually both do get married, we're going to know how to communicate well.
Yeah.
But that's another weird thing. Like, both of us, we're not really dating anybody else right now. So if that does happen, like, I think that'll be hard for that person if the two of us are traveling together. So sometimes you're stuck with that, you know, kind of. But right now, like I said, we're still young and this is what we want. So it's working for now. But who knows?
What'll
happen?
We might have like a third or fourth member one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a road crew or something. If we were to like get other partners or something.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing. I don't know how long ago that was, but anyway, we went on tour with one of our friends and he came out as a sound person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so great. Like, there was not one fight on the road. It was so nice to have a third person because, you know, if something was starting to, like, heat up, there's he's like, okay, breaker. Guys.
So maybe, cool like, it. We were just thinking then maybe we should, like, both go and date other people and bring them on the road with us, and then we can fight with them instead of each other.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good idea.
That'd be good.
But just being two of you, I would think that there's sort of, you get the best of both worlds and the worst of both worlds, as in if you're doing something by yourself, there's all the pressure on you to do it exactly right. But if you're in a group, sometimes it's hard to mediate opinions and get your own way and things like that. So do you find that, is it sort of the best of both worlds or the worst of both worlds, just having two people? Or
I'm pretty happy with being in a duo, because actually we started as a full band, and that was kind of not as good in a lot of ways, just because of what you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd have all these different opinions on how things should be run. And so luckily, or maybe not, because we were sad at the time, but luckily it turned into a duo. So should watch what I say, because we really did have a great time as a band too. But it was kind of a natural progression that we turned into a duo. I mean, our bass player got married and kind of moved on that way. And
yeah, once you're married, that's it. No, well, I'm just kidding.
Who knows? And then our drummer, he moved away to go to school. So it was kind of a natural thing that we became a duo. Uh-huh. But I think it was for the best. Like, naturally, it was like the universe, like, provided for us. Like, now it's, I think it's the best scenario where we're at, you know?
Yeah, and, like, you know, we know a lot of people who are solo artists and who are independent and stuff. And I just wonder, it must be so hard to go on the road, like, by yourself.
Yeah.
Or to write, like, 10 songs per album instead of 5.
Yeah. But I don't think I could do it if I was all alone traveling by myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, there's ups and downs to both sides.
Because
you do have to share the stage.
Because we recently went to see Blue Rodeo in Minneapolis on a night off. And Greg and Jim, I mean, they're an example of a duo in a sense with the band, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was, Greg was away, or he had to cancel.
His dad was dying.
His dad was sick, so Jim took over the whole show. And I could totally relate. I was like, wow, if that actually happened to Renee, like, I don't know if I'd have enough songs to do a full night. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but they have many albums.
Yeah, they do. So he could probably just start singing Greg's songs. But for me to sing your songs, Renee, would be kind of hard.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
We'd have to change the keys, and we'd have to change every, like, guy to girl. So.
How do the songs work? Do you each write your own songs and then bring them, and the other person just sort of backs you up, or?
Pretty much. Like, we share all the rights and everything. We kind of, it's all 50-50. But the majority of the time, whoever's singing the song will have written the song.
Right.
And either it's 3/4 done and, you know, and Keith will help me finish my song, or vice versa. And kind of works that way most of the time.
Renee kind of forces me to write, even if we're not working on a song together. Because if she writes something good, then I feel this pressure to have to match it or do better. And so we kind of work like a crazy tennis match, like, in regards to our writing, you know? Like, it's a good thing, and it kind of furthers our writing in that sense, to have that double-edged sword going on all the time.
There's definitely some healthy competitiveness going on.
On the writing end, And then when we do get together, I find we usually have really good criticism for each other's songs, both positive and negative, and it just makes the song better in the end.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know? When you're putting together a show or a CD, do you balance it out evenly, as in, you know, Renee gets the same number of songs as you do, or?
Pretty much.
We try to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, we're talking about tracking this single in the next little while to radio, and deciding whose song is a huge issue, like, or it was in a way, but I feel like we handled it pretty good. Like, I feel that a song that Renee wrote is also my song, and I think Renee feels the same way. Like, because once we bring a song into the band and we record it, it becomes an easily amused song. And so if it's going to do something for us, we might as well work it. And, you know, it's, I mean, there is like ego involved in the industry, and you kind of feel, oh man, I wish it was my song. But at the same time, like, I've been really feeling with this album in particular, you know, all 10 songs off the album, I feel like they are mine and Renee's. Like, we share them.
Yeah.
So whatever does well is great. Like, it's a team effort. So we're excited. But there is that competitiveness on the actual writing side of things. It's good, though. I heard that Lennon McCartney had that.
And look at how well they got along.
That's right, eh?
No.
They're good buddies now.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, why don't we do one more live one? Because
sure.
Always love to do that. So play us one more.
Do you have a request that you want to hear live?
Not really.
Live. No one's
fool. No one's fool? We could do that.
Yeah.
We'll do an acoustic version of No One's Fool that
Perfect.
We just worked out.
Terrific. You got anything to say about the song?
Sure. This is a song I was working on in Missoula, Montana, one night. We were playing there, and we were staying at the Campus Inn, and Renee was watching reruns of The Golden Girls on Nick at Night, which she usually does in the hotel room. And I was just getting tired of sitting in front of the TV. And I'm sure, Renee, you feel that way too sometimes. So I got my guitar, went to the bathroom in this place, and came out with this song. And it's basically a song about a girl that's trying to find her way, and she's tired of having to measure up to everybody's expectations about her.
Very nice indeed. Is there anything else we should talk about today, guys?
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
People might want to check out our website.
Absolutely, yes.
That's updated, and it's going to be a whole new look.
Brand new.
With the album in conjunction with it. So new photos, new video, all sorts of stuff there. So go check that out and send us an email.
easilyamused.ca, and they got the great mailing list there as well. One thing that I completely forgot to ask you about, and this is for Keith, but tell me a bit about working with J.P. Ho. You produced his debut CD, and everybody that listens to the show knows how much I loved this CD last year.
That's great.
But tell me a bit about becoming a big producer all of a sudden. What's that all about?
Well, I don't know if it's a big producer, but J.P. had called me like 2 years ago and asked me if I would help him work on some demos. And at the time, I was totally excited about it. I have a little studio at my house that I work at, so I thought it'd be a good chance to just try it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working with Creighton on our album like influenced me like so much. He is an amazing person to work with on so many levels, and his production skill is really transferred over to this album with JP that I worked on.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool to be working with Creighton and also kind of doing what Creighton's doing for us for another artist.
Yeah.
But I can't be happier. I mean, it was really a great first chance at producing. And there's 6 songs on his disc, yeah. I think. It's called The Here and Review. We had, again, I really think going in to do a record, you have to go in there with a very laid-back, have-fun approach. And we really did. We went in there. We had a great time. We recorded most of it at my house. So it was a very relaxed vibe. Mm-hmm. And I think it transferred over well, you know.
Yeah.
I was influenced heavily. I started listening to sort of the artists he would bring up. So listening to kind of Pete Yorn, Ryan Adams, Wilco. And I learned a lot of kind of production tricks from the producers there and from those artists. And kind of was influenced that way. And we had a good time. We mixed it with Scott Stewart at Studio 11, who I have to say is a great set of ears in Winnipeg. We had a good time. He was really awesome. We took a lot of risks with different panning options and stuff. It was just great. Learned a lot about, became a technical geek for a month. I could go on forever, man. It was just great. So check that disc out too.
Is this something you can see yourself doing again? Or
definitely. I'm always looking for artists to work with on the side.
Yeah.
And it's just because it really furthers me to produce stuff. I love it. I'm on the songwriting aspects of it. Just working with JP stuff took me to a whole another place as a songwriter, you know, just thinking about how he writes, and you know, it was fun. So yeah, I'd love to do this, and I don't know how our career is going to take off. I think we're going to be pretty busy with Easily Muse, but I love to make time to do it.
Would you two ever consider doing solo shows or even solo EPs or albums or something sometime?
Yeah, we've definitely thought of that. I guess when the time is right, we're just going to go for it for sure.
But so far, it's better to concentrate on the duo.
Yeah.
EA.
I think so.
Easily Amused.
Well, I'm excited about it. Thanks for being here, guys. It's always a treat to have you, and I hope you come back again soon.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks
it's
a lot.
Great to be here again.
Yeah. We'll see you at the show at the West End.
All right.